Welcome to Startup Health Now, the weekly show celebrating the healthcare transformers and changemakers that are reimagining healthcare. My name is Stephen Krine.
And I'm Unity Stokes.
And today we're going to sit down with JC Sambana, the Vice President of Life Sciences and Digital Health at Silicon Valley Bank. We're going to have a great discussion today. Welcome to the show, JC.
Thank you for having me.
Stay tuned.
Thanks. Stay tuned.
It is the duty of leaders to lead, of the creative to create, of the daring to do. The free world expects leadership of us. Its fate and our fate depends upon our leadership. We are industrious, inventive, restless, with the fires that burn within us. But I say that nothing is easy, and the best things are the hardest. And all our troubles, all our immense difficulties, now and in the future, can I say, be solved if we have the will, the courage. The future is to those who take it.
Welcome back to Startup Health Now. We're sitting down with JC Sambana, the Vice President of Digital Health and Life Sciences. We're going to move digital health in front of life sciences now, JC.
I think it's important.
At Silicon Valley Bank. Thanks for spending time with us.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
I'll always remember, you've actually seen Startup Health from the very beginning. I'll always remember when we met, I think it was at the JP Morgan Healthcare Conference, sitting in the lobby hotel. So you've really seen sort of the progression over the years. So let's start with a little bit about you and your background. I know you've been involved with venture funding and private equity and all sorts of things, equity research for years. Tell us about you and your background.
Sure. So, I feel like I've been very fortunate in having a place in this network in terms of getting a chance to build a relationship with the venture community, with the entrepreneurs, and really being a part of that whole ecosystem for the last 12, 13 years. A lot of it has been, initially was focused on life sciences. Always based on the West Coast. But one of the things that was kind of unique to I think, my career and where it's brought me is that prior to working in the healthcare space, I was an equity analyst covering technology stocks back in the late 90s. And that's actually what took me out
to
San Francisco. It was a shop called Moores & Cabot. Mm-hmm. So they were a Boston-based firm that was looking at and acquired a boutique investment bank back in the late 90s just to have a presence out in San Francisco. But the unique thing about that was that at the time I was covering technology stocks, and one of the areas that I covered was middleware software. And when you think about middleware software, what it was doing at the time was basically looking to connect disparate systems, which is, when you think about thematically what's happening right now in digital health, there's a large part of that is solving those same problems mm-hmm. that existed back then and just kind of what's happening now. So that combination of that experience and now what I've been, the relationships that I've built in the life science community are providing kind of a very unique perspective for our entrepreneurs that are coming through the digital health sector.
So I asked you before we started where you're from, and I want to hear a little bit about what brought you to America. But
I'm an immigrant from Ecuador. I was born in Ecuador, in Quito, Ecuador, and at the age of five, my family moved to New Mexico. We had some family there that was going to the University of New Mexico, and so I grew up in the Southwest, and was looking to kind of move to either the West Coast or the East Coast for college. Ended up in Colorado. And then moved out to the Bay Area for work.
So you're now with Silicon Valley Bank. Yeah. See you around at very
Everything.
Active in the ecosystem, which is great.
Yeah.
You're seeing a lot of things. Tell us your sense of where the ecosystem is today, where the industry is today. What's your sense of where we are specifically with digital health innovation?
Yeah, so there's a ton of reports out there in terms of that have been tracking the funding that's coming to the market. So there's no argument that there's a ton of interest in this area. So people from technology, people from traditional healthcare, life sciences, looking at digital health as the new big thing. And the funding that's coming into the market is clearly showing that. And so there's a lot of that excitement that in general, I think when you look at the aggregate numbers, it definitely does point to the fact that this is a growing industry. It's an area where people want to be in, regardless of what your background is. So, obviously, just the increasing trends in financing in this area. But I think also one of the things when you start looking a little bit deeper in terms of different pockets of subsectors that people are interested in, population health, where companies are looking at ways to impact certain patient populations. When you look at kind of increasingly smart and connected medical devices, I think those are kind of areas where we're seeing a lot of interest and a lot of genuine kind of development of breakthrough technologies.
And are you seeing a trend of new players moving into the sector as well?
Yeah, so both from the entrepreneur standpoint, but also from the corporate side. I think that's one of the key things that we've seen in the last couple of years has been an increase interest by large corporates to come in and tap into the innovation that's happening at these early stages.
And you've got some data behind this, right?
Yes. Yeah, so we just recently published a report that looked at some of the financing trends over the last 2 years. So when we look at over the last 2 years, 35% of all Series A financings had a corporate investor in as part of that syndicate in the Series A. And we look at that data for the year before that, that was up from 30%, and it was up from 10% the year before that. So
from 10% to 35% in 2 years.
In two years, yeah.
It's interesting. For you, first of all, a lot of people talk about noticing the trend, but you've quantified it a little bit.
Yes, yeah.
Why? Why do you think the corporate, and we're seeing it too, I mean, I think that it's clear that even, you know, let's call it 3, 4, 5 years ago, it would have been unheard of for any entrepreneur to want to engage with a corporate strategic early on, and vice versa. Most of the corporate strategics would never really want to get involved before a company's figured out. And the VCs de-risked it a little bit. So right. Why do you think that shift is happening?
Well, I think for a couple reasons. I think one, the corporates have a certain knowledge that they bring to the table that they know, they see the application of technology in various industries, and they don't want to get disrupted. They want to be in that conversation, and in many ways, sometimes helping those companies develop the product or refine their product based on what their pain points are. And I think having them enter into that conversation has been fundamentally important for a lot of entrepreneurs, and the fact that they're open to looking and bringing in technologies and taking, you know, an early stage company and putting them into a pilot and seeing how it impacts and iterating.
So they're more willing to take a chance and
absolutely
work with your other companies. Why do you think the entrepreneurs are so now willing to do that versus worrying about the potential heavy handedness or crushing by a big company?
Well, that's a good question. I think part of the reason that they're open to doing that is when you look at the from a standpoint of a venture investor, the risk mitigation factors around investing in an early stage company, you know, one of the big key things is, well, what is the market saying, right? Is there a product market fit? And you can solve a lot of that by having either a collaboration or some sort of co-development deal with a large corporate who's ultimately going to be either the user of the technology or the customer. And I think those are the things that are helpful for the entrepreneur to think about, and why I think there's less risks in them working with an early stage, working with a large corporate.
So in terms of where funding is today, we hear this term thrown around, the funding gap or Series A gap. Is that real? What's your sense of where we really are in terms of the early stage investing that's going on? What are you seeing today, at least in your travels around the West Coast?
So I'd say right now, the when I look at the venture investors that are coming into early stage digital health deals, by and large, I'd say most of the risk is being taken by the VCs that are coming more from the technology world, whereas the healthcare VCs, I think of them more as kind of Series B players. And so there is a little bit of a gap there between finding some funding for a company that has just gotten started, maybe has done one pilot, but hasn't really reached that critical inflection point for some of the healthcare VCs. So in those situations, we're seeing some of the tech VCs come in and finance those companies. In other situations, we're finding some seed funds that are starting to form up and look at bridging that gap.
And it seems like there's a lot of new players coming into digital health, specifically new types of money coming
in? So everything kind of from foundation to like seed or seed capital from various groups.
Prior biotech investors and funds, and life science funds looking at it too.
Absolutely. Now. And I part of it, I think, is that they see the opportunity to apply their knowledge of healthcare in helping these companies get to that inflection point.
So you get to see, because you're not just, although you're based in Silicon Valley, you are actually responsible for the whole country.
Right? I've got some broad coverage.
And so what are you seeing in the differences between what's happening in the Valley versus New York versus, quite frankly, everything in between, up and down the, both coasts and through, the Midwest? And what's happening in your mind and as you look at the
That's a great question. So I think, in New York, I think if you look at the overall funding numbers, right? So Silicon Valley still continues to be one of the predominant areas of capital formation around early stage companies, followed by, closely by Boston and New York. My sense is that in the New York market, because of the proximity to New Jersey and the presence of
customers,
of customers in pharma, that there's a little bit of a bent in that particular direction. Mm-hmm. But frankly, we see companies that are looking to solve similar problems across the country. It's just more a question of where are the resources that they have in terms of organizations, incubators that are there to kind of help them. Connect with those with those resources from a corporate or development standpoint.
Yeah, it's interesting. So we have companies. I think it's 47 different cities now, 7 different countries. So it's interesting as you connect everybody together, and allow them to share what works and what doesn't work. When you think about how Silicon Valley Bank's role in all of this, because I think it's interesting that they have someone like you dedicated to the sector, but you're not selling anything to the entrepreneurs. Right. You're actively helping them in many ways. Tell us about your role and maybe Silicon Valley Bank's role in working with the entrepreneurs and the VCs and the foundations.
Sure. So just a couple quick stats. So when we look at the venture landscape, the innovation economy, Silicon Valley Bank works with 50% of all the venture-backed healthcare companies in the U.S., and we bank over 50% of all the venture funds. And that comes out of just the long-standing relationship that the mm-hmm. Silicon Valley Bank has had with the venture community and the entrepreneur ecosystem for the last 30 years. And it's done a very good job of that. I think, what they do is fundamentally, we want to be the business bank for that company and start the relationship from the outset. So part of what my role is literally to bring in, new companies that are being formed into the fold and working
while
with them.
While
they're being formed early on. With the idea that you start that relationship early so you understand how that company's been developed, so that if there's an opportunity for me in my conversations with investors, on a day-to-day basis to surface a company that they might not have otherwise heard about, I can speak more intelligently about what that company's been doing if I've gotten to know them from the very beginning and have been working with them. And fundamentally, part of what our role is to help capitalize these companies at the point when they raise an institutional round. So company raises a first institutional round of capital, we can look to help augment that with some debt capital.
Right. So explain that for a second, because a lot of entrepreneurs don't understand this. So somebody raises $5 million or $2.5 million or $10 million. What happens with Silicon Valley Bank?
Sure.
How does it leverage that?
Yeah. So if you think about it, entrepreneur raises $5 million from institutional cap from VCs, and that $5 million is going to take them anywhere from say 18 to 24 months, give them 18 to 24 months of runway to achieve A, B, and C milestones. So we look at that sort of situation and say, okay, with some additional capital, say $1 million more in capital, how much further could the company get on that $1 million? And or if you think about it, if things take a little bit longer than expected and the money that they raised isn't able to get them to the point of achieving the milestones that they had set out, that debt capital actually helps provide some insurance, in some ways, extended runway. Mm-hmm. And that's part of what the role that we serve in helping finance those companies. So going back to your original question, one of the things that I do, and part of the reason that we look to help connect entrepreneurs with VCs is that, In the end, you know, we're helping ourselves by helping the entrepreneur, because if we can help a company get venture funded, that opens up our ability to look at doing a loan to that company over the long term. But at the end of the day, it's really all about surfacing great technologies, innovative entrepreneurs to companies that have a need and the investors that, right. that are backing.
So when you give them an extra $1 million or $2 million yep. bucks, warrants, what are you getting for it?
So, you know, typically what happens is that loan will typically be about 36 months. So if you think about it, the Series A money that's gone into the company
right, yeah.
gives them 24 months. We're giving them a loan that goes 36 months out. So we're actually taking some risk at the back end. So because we're taking a little bit of risk there, we'll take a warrant in the company. And typically, if you think about it on a fully diluted basis, it represents less than 2%, around 2% of the company on a fully diluted basis.
Any programs similar on the venture side, other than working with them for their portfolio companies? Do you guys do anything with funds?
So we do some loans to venture funds, and those are more called capital call lines. So mm-hmm. Basically, it's
they have commitments, but they don't have the capital yet.
So gotcha. We fund that.
So what advice do you have for entrepreneurs today, based on where the funding market is and where the market really is, the stage of the market? What practical advice? Do you share with entrepreneurs today? Is there either raising capital yeah. or thinking about raising capital or taking on debt?
Yeah, so I'd say probably the biggest piece of advice that I would have is to be very thoughtful in terms of when they're thinking about raising money from a VC or a corporate, to really kind of go through that thought process of where there's fit. For example, there are certain funds out there that are interested in the space that really are working off of like a $1 billion fund. Right. And if the capital that company needs to get to an exitable standpoint is going to be $10 million, there's just not a good fit there for the fund and the company. Even though they may love the company, it's not a good use of their time.
Ability to put money to work.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So the economics have yeah. to work.
The economics have to work, and you know, there's a lot of times there's also depending on where that fund may be in its life cycle, it may not. Also be, you know, they may only have capital set aside to continue supporting their existing companies. So those, we think of it, when I think about making an introduction to a VC for a company, I think about, you know, what market are they addressing? Where are they in the product development cycle? How much capital does that venture firm have to put to work? How much do they want to put it to work over the life of that company? And then All those kind of factors combined are the ways in which we think about when we make introductions to investors, and so because of that, you know, I think entrepreneurs should really think about their advisors, you know, folks like Startup Health, you know, their attorney that would have some of those insights. You know, obviously we have a lot of that knowledge as well, some of which we use to direct and target the VCs that our entrepreneurs are talking to. So, and same thing with the corporate side. I think that's where we've been spending a lot of our time, is building out that relationship with the corporate venture community. So we've done a couple of corporate VC events where we've convened a group of those investors from the corporate mm-hmm. world to talk about, you know, things that impact them as investors in the healthcare ecosystem, and I'll tell you the growth in digital health has really been one of the main areas of interest for a lot of them, and a lot of them mm-hmm. are launching initiatives within their funds to look at digital health as a sector. So
what are you seeing as it relates to mistakes being made? You probably sit there and watch the same mistakes being made over and over again, like we do, that with a couple of words of wisdom perhaps can save that entrepreneur from making. And what would you say to some of the big mistakes you're seeing being made around financing and some of the other things that are doing?
Well, so I'd say one of the things that surprised me is sometimes when an entrepreneur and a company and startups looking at the competitive landscape, you know, just being honest with themselves in terms of who exists within that competitive landscape, mm-hmm. they're either directly or indirectly. Because I think that not acknowledging that creates a lack of credibility
yep.
In the story when they're going out and talking to investors. I think that's probably one of the biggest things. But the other thing is, you know, trying to fit their story in terms of the amount of money that they're looking to raise, depending on who they're talking to. I think sometimes I think that that can create some confusion in the market if they're going out and talking to one investor
one
for half a million,
two, and another then another person, 10.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, it's really about how much capital do you need to get to this inflection point, and why is this milestone meaningful, and then building the story around that. Because I think that is a credible story that investors will recognize, and if it's a good fit for them in terms of size and products, development stage, it's a non-issue.
Yeah. So, who do you like working with more? Entrepreneurs, venture capitalists, or the big corporates?
throw them on the hot seat.
Yeah. Well, for me, the best part of my day is speaking with the entrepreneurs, because they're developing new technologies. They're incredibly excited about and passionate about what they're doing. And it's hard not to want to be around that sort of...
Spend your days with entrepreneurs. Yeah, it's
fine. What's your sense of, there's a lot more resources, community, things that just weren't around a few years ago or back when you were covering technology.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about the ecosystems and community and the impact you think that has on the success or opportunity for entrepreneurs today.
Well, so I think it really is the ecosystem has been built around organizations like Startup Health, where that are facilitating these connections with the funders, with the entrepreneurs, and I think that is something that has just accelerated. Mm-hmm. I think in general, there's just a stronger connectedness. I think we're literally probably at most two steps away from anybody on the financing side, on the corporate side, on the entrepreneur side in digital health. And it's just because all the social the social mechanisms of what we have between LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, all those are incredible tools to tell a story to the right audience. Mm-hmm. So those are, I think, the social media aspect of the times have really dramatically impacted the ecosystem.
Excellent. Well, we appreciate you spending time with us today. Yeah. If you were to pick up one word, you've been at the summit with us for the past couple of days. One word to kind of sum up how you're feeling right now. What would it be?
Excited. I'm. A lot of what we've heard during the summit has been about personalization. When I think about the strength. And the power of data to drive behavior change, to drive patient outcomes, all those things are elements of what companies are working on right now. I think that is the thing that excites me the most, is being able to personalize treatment, to personalize for better outcomes. And there's just a ton of companies that are working on making a big impact on patients.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for being a friend of Startup Health and a friend of the entrepreneurs in Startup Health and doing the work you do, because it's so critical that people know that they can trust and depend on certain partners as they go through the development of their startup. So thanks for hanging with us.
Thank you.
Really awesome to spend time with you, and always great to see you.
Thanks, guys.
Let's play some poker soon.
All right.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Startup Health Now. You can find all Startup Health Now episodes at startuphealth.com/now. JC, great hanging, man.
Thanks a lot. Good seeing you.